America, time to wake up.
I have a dream.
What's happening to us?
The American dream.
A better way of life.
The great American
dream.
Well, tell me you don't know what that is. Okay, well, it's actually quite all right if you don't.
My piece of the American dream.
What everybody wants as they start out.
Securing your portion of the American dream.
In my American dream, the people do make a difference.
Well, 40 acres and a mule, a McMansion, whatever your dream is, do you have it? Could you get it? Do you want it? We're going to take a look at immigrants, basically. Our friend Gustavo Arellano joins us from KUCI in Irvine, California. Gustavo, it's great to talk to you again. You're writing, of course, this column, Ask a Mexican, which is wildly popular. And then you also have this op-ed in the LA Times opinion page. Tell me what's going on and what you're thinking about.
What I'm thinking about was it's a birthday party for my cousin's daughter, where all of us of my generation, my cousins, my friends, us, the children of Mexican immigrants, we're sitting around and just laughing at how our parents, which other Americans would call dumb Mexicans because they don't know how to speak English. But nevertheless, these dumb Mexicans all have their nice little three-bedroom, two-bath, one-swimming-pool American dream. And us assimilated kids with master's degrees could barely afford apartments or still share bunk beds with our 15-year-old brothers.
Are you buying too many lattes in Echo Park, Los Angeles? I mean, I have a lot of friends who are kids of immigrants, and although I consider myself very much American born and raised, my father was an immigrant. There's definitely this collective shrug that immigrant parents give when they see their wastrel children, you know, going out and, you know, buying, you know, cute jeans and this and that instead of scraping and saving and, you know, living five to a bedroom. I mean, are we just not tough enough?
My parents, specifically my dad, has no sympathy for me whatsoever.
Does he call you a wastrel?
Not a wastrel. He calls me other words in Spanish that I can't say on the air, even though your audience probably doesn't know them anyway. Definitely not the FCC. But what he does tell me is that even though he had a fourth grade education, he dropped out of school in Mexico so he could take care of cows. Even though with that, he himself has boasted that I could get a job right now and, you know, anything within a week. He actually recently just got laid off as a truck driver. Oh. I know it's unfortunate, but I expect within the week for him, if not to have 15 job opportunities to make a job for himself because
right.
He's resourceful. That's the ironic thing, I think, about my generation of immigrants, specifically Mexican immigrants, is that even though we have a much better situation we used to have a much better situation to improve in this country, unlike my parents, at this point in American history, we're stuck in limbo. We're stuck in limbo with our nice degrees and our Camrys and our meager savings. And I don't drink lattes myself. I drink Jarritos, which is a very sweet Mexican soda. So I wasted all my money on sodas.
All right.
What
can I say? Well, Gustavo, it's great that you've done this op-ed. And, of course, your impulse is to be a writer and to, you know, talk to the people out there about the things that are close to your heart. But maybe what's going on now is you need to be talking to the old man about what to do now. Take his advice, finally, for a change.
Well, if I paid attention, though, to my mom and my dad, a couple of years ago, when everybody was flipping houses, they said, you have to buy a house right now. I'm a reporter by trade, which means I'm cynical. And I told my parents, look, the housing market, it's going to collapse, and it's going to collapse really, really bad. And I had other older cousins at the time, not really from my generation, but older cousins who were buying houses, who were buying two or three houses, and I thought it was insane. Here we are about 3 years later. Those cousins of mine lost their homes, lost all of them homes. They had to move back with their children, with their parents, and now my parents are saying, hey, it's time to buy a house. Unfortunately, I don't think the housing market, at least in Southern California, I don't think it's bottomed out yet, unless I want to go into the Gomorrah on Earth known as Inland Empire.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's some really sad stuff going on there. And
yeah,
unbelievable. But, you know, I think it's also a question. One of the things that you raise is about intent and what shape do you want your life to take? And very different from generation to generation. We've been hearing a lot about that.
My name's Jose. I'm the first person in my family born in the United States. And it was my parents' dream that I go to college and get a good job. I went to college and I work in an office and every day I'm miserable.
You know, what do you think about that, Gustavo? I mean, so many of us, there's a question of, is the dream to do what you want to do, or is the dream to work your butt off long enough to buy into the dream later? And to me, Jose was really speaking to that.
The dream that my parents had for their children was to come into this country, yeah, work your butt off and make as much money as possible in order to buy yourself security. It wasn't about – for my dad, if I had become a truck driver like him, he would have been happy. I had to push him when I was in high school and say, look, Dad, I don't want to work 18-hour days, six days a week like yourself. I want to get an advanced degree that's going to make my job easier for both myself and also give me a better salary than what you're making. And I was able to achieve that. Of course, I'm a journalist, and we know how great that newspaper industry is nowadays.
Yeah, great move, Gustavo. Really good call, buddy. Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, you know, one of these questions that what you're writing about, the intergenerational immigrant to second generation transition, it also applies, I think, very much in a cyclical way, where, you know, if your parents were struggling, a lot of times there are people I know who are like, you know what, you know, come heck or high water, I'm going to be financially secure. And if your parents are financially secure, sometimes you take risks because you haven't seen the downside. Do you see anything cyclical going on in terms of, you know, people you know?
I certainly hope so, because what I find fascinating about my parents is that my mom was a tomato canner, my dad was a truck driver, and 25 years ago they were able to scrape their salaries, and they weren't the best of salaries. They were able to scrape their salaries and buy a pretty nice house. And myself, I'm not married, but if I got married with somebody, I'm sure her salary would sort of match my salary, and nevertheless, we wouldn't be able to buy any type of house that even matches to what my parents have. My parents, you know, the house that they have, it's a stucco, you know, it's made of stucco, it's tract housing in Anaheim, California. It's not exactly the best one. So I certainly hope that, we're right down the street from Disneyland, actually. And I hope that my children, that they'll be able to have the same great environment to buy a house that my parents did. I just don't see it for myself in the next couple of years or even decades.
Well, Gustavo, you know, you can always move back home. My mom's offered me my old bedroom back, and I might have to take her up on it. Gustavo Arellano from KUCI, he writes, Ask a Mexican, syndicated across the country.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.